Praise the Lord. First, giving honor to God and to my Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to Pastor Jimerson and his absence today, to the deacons, officers, members, and friends here at Second Baptist Church, we do greet you this day in the name of Jesus. For there is power in the name of Jesus. I thank God for the Chancellor Choir and how they have affirmed in song. And I pray that I'll affirm it in my sermon, but that truly God watches over us. For they sang His eyes on the sparrow, and we just concluded with, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I thank God for our youth ushers who have served us so well. Let's give God a hand of praise for our youth ushers. To the ministers on the rostrum, my partners in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we thank God for them and for their prayers that they have given me this morning. I thank God for their presence here. And I'm sorry to see Sister Jones leave. I figured I had at least one amen in the church today. Amen. And it's with great joy as I look out into the sanctuary that I see very dear friends of ours, the Walkers, are with us, Marilyn and Arthur Walker. We thank God for their presence. And I thank God for Tanisha and Jada being here today. I thank God for an early morning phone call from DJ this morning at an ungodly hour. No, I'm just joking. But he called our house at about 5 o'clock this morning to let his mother know that he was not going to be coming to church today. He was on his way to work. Give God praise. Amen. 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 But I did hear him over the phone say, and tell Dad to make sure he calls and gives me his scripture text and sermon topic because I want to review the text. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for that. Truly, it's a blessing once again to be in the house of the Lord and to share in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we find here in the 21st chapter of John, verses 1 through 14, and that text is printed in your teller. But for the lengthiness of this scripture text, which comes from that 21st chapter, I want to share in your hearing the verse that drew my attention to this text, and it is verse 3, the Gospel according to St. John, verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we do come to you to give you thanks, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to stand in this sacred place and proclaim the riches of your gospel. Lord God, we just ask now that you would open our hearts and minds. Allow your Holy Spirit to move upon us and move with each of us from heart to heart and breast to breast. We pray that through the proclamation, some soul may come running asking, what must I do to be saved? And Father, we just give you thanks. Now I ask that you would hide me behind that rugged cross of Calvary, that this thy people see none of me, but let them see all of thee. Use me for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And for a sermon topic, I selected a night of unprofitable toil. A night of unprofitable toil. There are times in life when we may work hard and accomplish nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some of us have labored and labored and labored, and things just turned out to be unprofitable. And usually it has been my experience when I labor and toil and it seems as though I profit nothing, that I end up disappointed. Amen? Such was the experience of the disciples in the 21st chapter of John during their night of toil on the Sea of Tiberias. See, following his resurrection, Jesus showed himself a second time to the disciples when the one who did not believe that Jesus had been resurrected. Now, I've taken a step back into the 20th chapter, but he had shared with Thomas and the other disciples on his second appearance, showing that he truly was resurrected. And he told Thomas, "You have believed because you have seen. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." And see, in verses 1 and 2 of our text, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples." See, in Luke's gospel, Jesus called Simon Peter and the other disciples from fishing for fish to become fishers of men. You got that?
Yes.
And they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. In other words, they left what they had been doing as an occupation to profit, dropped their nets, and picked up and followed Jesus. And the text goes on to tell us that Jesus told them, "You'll no longer fish for fish, but you will now follow me and become fishers of men."
Amen.
Now, Jesus went on to do great things and miracles, right? And he went to Calvary's cross for the world. And after his death and burial, he was resurrected. He showed himself to the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't there with him. And he went on and finally caught up with Thomas and said, "Now do you see that it is me? I am resurrected." That was the second time that he appeared. But we find that here in the text, the third time of Jesus is appearing to the disciples to prove that he truly was resurrected. Here in the text, Peter had returned back to his old way of living. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
The text says that he returned back to fishing, the same way of living that he had before he had met Jesus. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, "Simon Peter saith unto them," his disciples, the disciples that were with him, "I go a-fishing." Amen?
Amen.
He said, "I go a-fishing." And I want to let you know, church, going back to one's former life can influence others. Because see, Peter's going back to his former life for a night influenced the others to follow him. They said, "We also go with thee." We've got to be careful of going back to the old way of living. See, Peter was a fisherman. He was a natural born leader. And the other disciples looked up to him and they trusted and followed his lead. And he led them back into an old way of life. Makes you think, doesn't it? The verse says that they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. They didn't think about it, second guess it, or anything. They just said, "Okay, Peter, you're going fishing, we're going too." All right. Amen? And he misled them, and they entered into a night of unprofitable toil. See, going back to the former life resulted in empty nets for the disciples. The scripture tells us that, and that night they caught nothing. And you know something, to tell the truth, fishing at night is one of the best times to fish. I wish I had some fishermen. Come on, Brother McKinney. I know you fish. Amen. But fishing at night is one of the best times to catch fish. But here these disciples, they fished all night long, church, and they caught nothing. I'm reminded at this point, not too long ago, just over this summer, we went on vacation to South Padre with Tanisha's parents. And her father and I, we call ourselves going out fishing. We used to do a lot of fishing back in Virginia on the Chesapeake Bay and in that area, down in Harrison Pier and Willoughby Split. Deacon Thurston's nodding his head. But we used to do a lot of fishing. We enjoyed fishing. And since we moved to Texas, it was special for me and Tanisha's father to go out fishing when we were on vacation this summer. And we went out deep sea fishing. And I'll tell you, we got up early in the morning. I heard him shuffling around, getting ready to go. He was excited about going. I was excited about going. We got out there on the boat, rowed out into the sea for about an hour. Got out there, and the captain said, "Drop your lines." Oh, yeah, we're going to catch some fish. Dropped our line over. All day long. And we caught nothing. We didn't even get a bite. And I tell you, I was happy because we weren't alone. No one on the boat got a bite or caught a fish. But it was so disappointing that we went all the way out there, spent half the morning, half the day out on a boat and didn't catch any fish. But I thank God for perseverance because we went out for the next 2 days, but we went bay fishing and we caught quite a bit of fish. We had some good fish to eat. Amen. But I can identify with Peter's and the others who were fishing all night long and caught nothing. I can understand and empathize with their disappointment. Right? It had to be disturbing to them to be out there. Here these are professional fishermen and they catch nothing. Here we see that going back to our former ways may result in empty nets and unprofitable toil. Going back may cause you to see that the thing you want that once satisfied you and thrilled you no longer satisfies and thrills, but only leaves you disappointed with empty nets. Going back to the former way of life can make you insensitive to the presence of Jesus. Verse 4 says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." See, Simon Peter and the other disciples, they got so caught up with fishing and so preoccupied with the former way of life that they became insensitive to the presence of Jesus. They were so busy steering the boat. The boat we were on was rocking and reeling. We spent a lot of time doing this on the ocean. Amen. And trying to gather our gear as it slid from one side to the other. But we were so caught up, and they were so caught up in steering the ship and casting out and pulling in their nets and arranging their gear that they didn't even recognize the presence of Jesus as the sun broke through the clouds in the morning. They didn't recognize him, church, standing there on the shore. And my brothers and sisters, we can too. Get so preoccupied with casting our nets and toiling that we can become insensitive to the presence of Jesus. I'm going to ask somebody here, have you ever stayed up all night long working on homework, young people, or studying for a test? Have you ever toiled, adults, all day and all night working on a project for your job and you forgot to pray about it? Come on, I hope I'm not alone. Have you ever woke up in the morning and got so started with getting to work, getting to school, getting to wherever you were going that you forgot to take time to pray? And then halfway through the day, it finally dawned on you when things were going all chaotic and things you were doing weren't profiting you anything. It finally dawned on you, oh, wow, I forgot to pray. There was a great preacher in Richmond, Virginia. He pastored Cedar Street Baptist Church. And on his phone, whenever you would call, the answering machine would pick up. And the first thing he would say, have you talked to God today? I think that was a great message. Before you call me asking for advice, talk to God. Amen? Amen. But see, we can become insensitive, church, to the presence of Jesus in our lives. But I want to tell you, even in the midst of all their toiling all night, the scripture tells us they caught nothing. I've got good news. Amen? See, unprofitable toil finds the solution in Jesus. Right. Amen? Amen? The disciples were disappointed, yes. Their nets were empty, yes, until Jesus entered in and spoke to them from the shore. And they soon found Jesus to be the solution to their night of unprofitable toil. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Some of y'all came to church worried about what's going to happen next year. But let me tell you, as long as Jesus is in control, I don't care where anybody casts their nets. Amen. Our future is in his hands. And the good news about it is that Jesus is concerned in times of unprofitable toil. No matter what you're going through, let me tell you, Jesus is concerned.
Oh, yes.
Verse 5 says, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Even though we may go back to our former life and drift aimlessly on the sea of life and on the sea of unprofitable toil, let me tell you, Jesus is still concerned. You may not even recognize his presence, but he is concerned about you. Amen?
Amen.
So we find that in verse 6, Jesus issues a command. He calls out to them from the shore. Jesus tells them, do something different from what you have been doing all night long. Amen? He says, do something different. Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find.
Right.
All night long, they've been over here on the left side of the ship. Now Jesus tells them, cast to the right.
Yeah.
Amen? And you shall find. The disciples had been casting to the left. Now Jesus commands them to cast their net on the right side. That calls for them to do something unusual. They could have argued with Jesus. You know, Jesus, we've been doing it this way on the left side. We've been fishing for years till you called us from fishing. We're experts at what we do. Amen? Sometimes we get that way in the church. We want to tell Jesus how to do what he's telling us when he's telling us what to do. But they could have argued. We've been doing this for years. But I can hear Jesus saying in my sanctified imagination, stop the insanity. Stop the insanity. I think we got some insane churches around here. Stop the insanity. They kept doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Someone defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Some churches, we get caught up in doing the same thing over and over and over again. I'm gonna get in trouble, but out of tradition. Amen. And we're not catching anything. We're toiling and toiling and toiling, and it's profiting nothing. Jesus, like I said, in my sanctified imagination, said, stop the insanity. Cast your net to the right. Amen? He tells them to do something different. Even with all their knowledge of the sea and all their skills, the disciple needed divine guidance and the help of the Lord. We may think we know the sea of life. I've been around the corner 3 or 4 times. I know what I'm doing. You've heard people say that. Amen. We may think we know the sea of life. We may have the finest nets. We may have years of education and experience. But in reality, no matter how many degrees you have, we all need the help of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We all need divine guidance and help as we toil through this thing called life. Amen. Amen. Jesus went on and he may call you to do something unusual. Now, if he comes up and says, let's do something unusual, are we going to be willing to do it? See, Jesus turns the night of unprofitable toil into a night of profitable toil. Verse 6 goes on to say that they therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. See, Jesus told them to do something unusual. Stop the insanity, do something unusual. And look what happened. They followed his command and they caught so many fish, right? Yes. That they could barely draw the net in. Right. After hours of toiling and catching nothing, to their amazement, when they obeyed Jesus' command and cast their net to the right, they caught more fish than they could have ever expected. See, Jesus makes the difference, church. With God, all things are possible. Their night of unprofitable toil turned into a night of profitable toil through Jesus Christ. A night of profitable toil gives us some worthy lessons, church. The first one is the lesson on the watchful care of Jesus in our nights of unprofitable toil. See, someone may have stayed up all night last night. But let me tell you, Jesus cares about you. The watchful care of Jesus. See, no matter how far on the sea these men drifted, they were never beyond the watchful eye of Jesus. That's why I love that song. His eye is on the sparrow. And if he watches over sparrows, I know he watches me. And the disciple John, the one whom Jesus loved, was the first to exclaim when they did not recognize that it was Jesus on the shore, it is the Lord. He was concerned. He was standing there on the shore, just waiting for them to recognize him. How many times have Jesus stood on the side by you, waiting for you to recognize that he was there with you? He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. All he wants us to do is trust him and obey him. And then the second thing is, Peter was the first to respond. Hearing that it was the Lord, Peter wrapped his outer garments around him and jumped into the sea to get to the Lord as quickly as possible. Sometimes we need to jump up and hasten to the Lord's throne rather than calling all around and getting in touch with everybody. We need to just hasten right to the Lord to get answers for our situations. See, but some will respond more quickly than others to the watchful care of Jesus. And the third lesson is the abundance of God's blessings. See, even though we may be out there on the sea, toiling and not profiting anything, God is just waiting to bless us abundantly. In that night of unprofitable toil, when we turn things over to Jesus, verse 11, it says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet not the net broken. They caught so many fish, the net was bulging out, but the net did not break. Amen?
Amen.
They caught nothing by themselves. But with Jesus, they caught 153 fish, enough to feed everybody. See, that lets me know we all need the Lord's help, because Jesus is the one who makes the difference. And the last lesson is that our nights of unprofitable toil and our nights of unprofitable toil, after those nights when we labor and toil all night long and it seems as though we're getting no success, we're not profiting anything, we need to remember that Jesus gives a gracious invitation to all. See, they had toiled and toiled, and now they're pulling in their nets. But verse 12 tells us, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Nobody dared to ask, who are you? But they knew in their heart of hearts that it was the Lord. And he told them to come dine. Our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said, come dine. And I'm so glad that the Lord has provided for all to come and dine. I wanted to encourage someone today who has been toiling, and it seems that you've lost some of your encouragement. I want to encourage you today, if you've been toiling and it seems as though your toiling is profiting you nothing, you've been casting your nets, you've been out there on the sea, and it seems that you can't catch a break. Well, I came by to tell you that God sees your toil. He is concerned about you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't turn your back on God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Keep on casting your nets. You may have to cast it in an unusual way, but keep casting your nets. Stop the insanity of doing the same thing over and over and over again. Some of us parents, we may have to change some of our ways about parenting. Amen. Some of us have to let go and let God. I was so glad to hear that phone ring at 5 this morning just to hear my son's voice. But he made a choice. And I thank God that God is still active in his life. He was concerned about my son and had him call me and ask what was the sermon topic. So he's going to go through this too. Now he'll dissect it and pick it a little bit more than me. But I'm so glad that God's still taking care of him. And see, when you stop the insanity and turn things over to Jesus, won't he work it out? I didn't mean to get personal there, but I just want to share some of the goodness and testify that the Lord has been good to me. Life has not always been easy. There's been some long nights of toil where I thought I had everything worked out, every I dotted and every T crossed, but then when I turned that paper in, it came back with a whole lot of red ink on it, and I got asked the question, do you have a spell check on your computer? Have you gotten a proofreader? But thanks be to God that going through those times only helped to make me better. Sometimes life is a struggle, my brothers and sisters. Being in Christ doesn't mean that your life is just going to be easy. These were disciples that followed Jesus, and they went back to an old way of living. They went back to fishing. Rather than picking up their cross and continuing to follow Jesus, they chose to turn back. And I don't know, somebody here might be on the edge of turning back, but I want to let you know, just keep on pressing on. Keep on. Keep on casting. Keep on trusting God. And God will make a way out of no way. He's able to do all things but fail. He'll turn your night of unprofitable toil into a night of profitable toil through his son Christ Jesus. You know that great picture of Calvary's cross? That cross is empty. But as Christ hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross, I can imagine the disappointment on the faces of those who followed Jesus. When Joseph of Arimathea took him off the cross and buried him in his borrowed tomb, I could see the disappointment and the loss for all those that had followed Jesus. But thanks be to God, there was a resurrection morning. For the Bible says on the third day he got up with all power in his hands. He got up with power to feed the hungry, heal the sick. Amen. Transform the lives of those who persecuted the church, such as Saul. But thanks be to God that he made a way for us to be reconnected to the Father through his death, burial, and resurrection. And even in our nights of unprofitable toil, he's there with us. He's interceding for us, bringing our concerns to the Father, for the Father is concerned with us. The question is, in your nights of unprofitable toil, will you hold on to God's unchanging hand? Will you trust him? Will you obey his command? Will you do something unusual? Amen. The Lord is calling to each of us, individually and collectively. He wants us to keep casting our nets. For there's a great drought. There's a great sea full of fish that God wants to reconcile back to him. They were no longer fishermen of fish, but fishers of men. God wants each of us to keep casting our nets. Do something a little unusual. You never know what you might catch when you trust God. To God be the glory. A night of unprofitable toil turned into profitable toil. And we should now obey the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave the invitation to come and dine. He has set the table, and he's inviting someone today as our deacons come and the choir prepares. He's inviting someone to come give their life to him. You may be here today and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the pardon of your sins. But I can assure you that if you would give your life to him, he will reshape, rebuild, and redirect your life. It may not be easy. He may call you to do something unusual. but his word never returns void. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, would you please come? Give the deacons your hand and give God your heart. Will you come?
Say amen. All
if you
church.
Affirm that amen, won't you stand to your church feet?
Yeah.
Let the church say amen.
My
For
God.
If you're in Christ, you are a new creature.
Let the church.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
Let the church say, come on, church.
Let the church say, amen. Amen. Oh, amen. God has spoken. Yeah, yeah. Say.